Greetings once again from the studio, except this time it's Mobile Podcast Command. It's Friday, and I'm in Mendocino, California, on the coast. Pacific Ocean is out there. I am parked by the beach, and this is what I wanted to do last night, but I had to fight through a lot of rain, which you'll hear in this podcast. That's kind of been the last few days, just driving through really intense rain, and I discuss it in this radio show, especially in the first segment, so you hear all that. But it's nice to be in Mendocino. We're just going to get ready and roll segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, number 48. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the podcasts, check out the BobDavisPodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Well, this will be a bit different, Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, because I am traveling. It is, you know, just about 11 o'clock, of course, a little after 11 o'clock, except I am not in the Twin Cities or someplace like that. I am way out on the West Coast in Humboldt County, California, in the midst of a fall storm, which has literally socked in the entire coastline from somewhere north of San Francisco all the way up to southern Vancouver, north of Seattle. And of course, the remnants of a cyclone over here on this coast, they call them cyclones, from Japan, is impacting Seattle this weekend. I have been trying to outrun this storm in Mobile Podcast Command all day, and it's just finally had to pull over to do the radio show. So welcome. And I promised my podcast subscribers that I would talk about politics a little bit in this show, but I want to talk a little also about travel and why travel is good for the soul. And I've done two podcasts on this mega trip, which is, how can I say this? I'm a little frustrated tonight because I've had to try to outrun this storm, and it really upset me because I'm in the Redwoods, and I have come through this part of California like three times, and three times I have not been able to see the Redwoods because either I went through at night and had this mad desire to keep going, or I went through in bad weather, and here I am again in this really bad weather in a town called Gerberville, California, which probably isn't in Humboldt County, but I figure I'm somewhere around there. And I'm sitting here in Mobile Podcast Command, and I'm really upset because I did get to see some redwoods, but this storm, if you're from the Midwest, I mean, I'm sure you've seen rain, but this is wind and rain. I put up a couple of videos on Facebook so people could see it. At the very start of it, I was up north in Washington State, actually north of Seattle, and as I came down south of Seattle, the storm started to roll in, and that part of it was beautiful. But we do not see wind like this in the Midwest, whether you're in Minnesota or North or South Dakota, until well into winter. And we don't see wind like this except in blizzards. You know, I was just out in North Dakota for the pipeline protest, covered that for a podcast. And you know, there's wind. I mean, it's a little bit more breezy in Montana and North Dakota than it is in Minnesota and Wisconsin, or, you know, the Upper Peninsula, or, you know, any place like that, in what we would call the Midwest, Illinois. Usually we don't see that kind of wind until, we get into January and February and March, and those either late spring snowstorms or those winter blizzards. And only in the most severe blizzards do we see the 20, 30, 40, 50 mile an hour straight line winds. And in this case, it's blowing rain around and it's warm. I mean, it's like 65. So it's pleasant in the sense that it's warm. It's not a blizzard, but it feels like a blizzard because, you've got this rain coming in. And you might, let me just move the mic slightly because you might be able to hear this steady rain on the ceiling of the Bob Davis Podcast's Mobile Podcast Command. So you're going to hear mic noise here. Here we go. Let me see if I can get this. I'll just lift it up so you can hear. It's just swinging all the way back around, so sorry about that. Yeah, so I'm sitting here in Mobile Podcast Command enjoying this storm, and of course it's dry and warm in here, and, you know, there's some nomadic kids down the block at Ray's grocery store and hiding in the lee of some of these little stores here in this town, because this rain is something else. But I've been struggling with it because I kept looking at the maps, and it kept looking like it was going to clear south of Eureka, California. And of course, as I drove south, the thing started rolling in. So I've been driving about 12 hours now. I have a light out, so I'm going to light here in Gerberville, California, for a little bit of time since I started this day out in Lincoln City, Oregon, which is almost, well, I suppose it's about 500 miles, if not more, 600 miles from here. Needless to say, the western states, whether we're talking about Montana, North Dakota, you know, South Dakota, the Mountain West, Montana, and then, of course, Washington and Oregon and California are massive states. Washington is long and it's super wide. The same with Oregon. Whether you're coming down the coast or cutting across through the mountains, it's tough. And I decided to go this way because my objective is Phoenix. And I'm going to go visit some people in L.A. and then go over to Phoenix. And I didn't want to go through Colorado because I didn't want to encounter weather in the mountains and deal with snow going through Colorado, which is considerably higher elevations than where I went through up in Washington through the Cascades. So I got instead this incredible coastal cyclone-like rainstorm. So I guess I'll have to live with that. But it's, let me take a sip of tea here. And I am literally right down in the little town center of Gerberville, about a block from a diner where I'm going to get up in the morning and go have some breakfast, parked. And the good thing is I don't have to run the diesel all night because it's not that cold out there. And as long as you don't have wind and rain, you'll stay pretty warm inside the studio. But this is this storm is kind of a metaphor for what is happening to Republican politics in America as we speak. And, you know, friends of mine who are on the left, people who are supporting Hillary Clinton, although not all of my friends are on the left supporting, Hillary Clinton. Some of them are just as disillusioned as some Republicans. But it's difficult to have conversations in view of the Donald Trump tape from the bus with Billy Bush and rumors of more coming out and yet more rhetorical flourishes by Donald Trump. And it's difficult to watch Republicans in general flail about and try to grab hold of anything, any port in a storm, whether it's Mike Rowe, who is the guy that was famous for the show where he did all the jobs, and now apparently he's on CNN, somebody told me, may not be the same guy, but now suddenly he is a political commentator. And every political commentator, everybody doesn't seem to know where to go with this. And that is why people asked me 2 weeks ago, people said, why haven't you endorsed a candidate? And now you know why. I refuse to endorse either one of the two. I don't care either one, whether either one wins. I don't like either one. I find both extremely distasteful. And for a lot of reasons, both in my view are statists. Both in my view believe in state solutions. So we're going to talk a little bit about travel. We'll talk a little bit about what ails the Republican Party in the Bob Davis podcast radio show for this week. Yeah, and I'm, of course, in California in Mobile Podcast Command, which is a 2000 Super Duty Ford ambulance. If you have just sort of found the radio show, you may not know that this is what I've been doing, traveling at various times of the year in Mobile Podcast Command. And some people are going to my website at thebobdavispodcast.com and they're putting in donations for fuel, and I really appreciate those. Okay, here we go. Live from Gerberville, California on a very stormy night. Visit thebobdavispodcast.com for all the Bob Davis podcasts. And don't forget to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, The Bob Line, at thebobdavispodcasts.com. For more of the Bob Davis podcasts, again, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. Coming up, we're going to talk about why travel is good for the soul, the lessons learned while traveling next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. In the studio, back in Mobile Podcast Command, which is the studio, actually. If I could get a garage and just pull the truck up in the garage and put my studio in here, I would, because I think it sounds better in here than it does in the studio, actually. So, yeah, I'm in Mendocino, California, not Gerberville, better known as Garberville. I don't know why I always do that. I get the name of the town wrong. It drives me crazy. And I think part of it is it's the stress of moving through these areas really fast to try to either maintain a schedule or just, in this case, to get out of the pouring rain. So the weather is nice. It's still overcast and misty and cold here in California, but nothing like Minnesota. And as you know, after Thanksgiving, the deep cold is going to set in. And if you haven't had your heating systems checked to make sure everything's working right, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul to check all that stuff. Call them now, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com, metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too. So it's not just Minneapolis and St. Paul. Suburbs north, south, east, and west. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, they've been around for four generations, and they can take care of all your systems, because when it comes to keeping everything working right these days, you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing. When you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems in the summer, you want reliable service. That, of course, is Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They do great emergency service, once again, in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, metro-wide from St. Paul. And they do emergency, and they do business emergencies as well, and they do a great job with that. Reliable service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, residential and business. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Okay, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show number 48. Here we go. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Once again, let me just set the stage for you. I am in Gerberville, California, which is a small town, I believe, in or around Humboldt County, California. And I've been trying to outrun that big storm that is impacting the West Coast all this weekend. If you've been paying any attention to Weather Channel, or if you've been watching the news, you've been seeing what's going on with Seattle and different places as this storm impacts. It's the remnants of a cyclone, which is what they call hurricanes on the west side in the Pacific. So we're actually dealing with the remnants of a hurricane. I wanted actually to cover the hurricane down in Florida just recently, and I wasn't able to. And so I kind of unexpectedly, apparently, am getting to cover this hurricane. I mentioned the straight line winds with the rain, but what I haven't mentioned is the smell. It smells really fresh and salty, and it's very warm in the midst of all this, at least from a California perspective at this time of the year. So I'm in Northern California. I just wanted to let everybody know that I am up there. So very quickly, people say, well, why on earth do you do this? Do you take these mega trips where you go, when I covered the campaigns, I was out for almost 2 months. I ended up going all the way down to Florida and, up through, Florida's West Coast. Coast, all the way through the Gulf Coast, to Galveston, Beaumont, Port Arthur, all those places, back up through the middle of the country, and it was exhausting. And I didn't want to go. When I got back, I didn't want to go anywhere. And then after a while, I thought, I think I want to go on a mega trip out west. And I contemplated it, and people gave me contributions through the BobDavisPodcast.com for diesel fuel, and it kind of got built up, and I thought, well, okay, I'm ready to go. So I decided to go all the way across the top of the country and then turn down on 101, eventually the Pacific Coast Highway, once I get south of San Francisco, really south of Napa Valley, close to L.A., down there through Big Sur and Carmel by the Sea, I will be on the PCH. And this is a massive trip, 3,000-plus miles. Once I get to L.A., then I'll head over to Phoenix, which is really a hop, skip, and a jump. And then after Phoenix, New Mexico to Texas, and then back up on 35 for the final stretch. So this is quite a trip. And I've reached the point now with travel that a short trip does nothing. It's almost like an afternoon drive for me to go to Sturgis or go over to Chicago or something. It doesn't do anything for me. These kinds of long trips are really what it's all about for me. And why? Well, I did a podcast this week and I talked about how, first of all, it softens your impressions of what you think people are doing. And that's the first thing, because you see America in all its grandeur, but you also see America at its low points, various different places. And you begin to get a better idea of what's actually going on in this country, and know the country is not falling apart, and know the infrastructure in the country is not falling apart. There's lots of really nice little towns like this one. There are some bad places, and there's some good places, but for the most part, on balance, people seem to be dealing with their problems. Does that mean that there aren't problems? No. But what irritates me, especially when I travel, is I see all these politicians up there talking about how the planet is, falling apart, or it's the end of the world, or the country is falling apart, and what will we do? And it's hand-wringing, and it's very negative, because what we will do is what we always do. We will persevere. We will prevail. We will do what we do, because America is its people, and people are just going to do what they do. I'm not going to quote Hillary Clinton saying we're great because we're good, because I don't like all those superlatives. We are what we are. And that's pretty much it. And that's one of the things that you learn traveling. The other thing you learn traveling, and I really came up against this today, is trips take on a personality of their own. They take on a patina of their own. And part of it is the choice that you made to go on the trip that you went on. Now, when I covered the campaigns, I did Iowa, and Iowa's easy because everything's within 110 or 120 miles of everything else. So you go to these events, and you can pick and choose, because it's easy to go from Council Bluffs to Des Moines, let's say. It's not that far. When I went to South Carolina, I found out it's a little bit more difficult because Columbia is a long way from Myrtle Beach and so forth. And so about halfway through that, I pretty much got what I needed, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not just going to keep driving back and forth between these points. And then I headed south. Well, I got very frustrated when I was down in the Keys, because it wasn't what I expected. I had a mental image in my mind of what I was looking for. Didn't find that until the panhandle of Florida, when I got into a place called Mexico Beach, Florida. So what you think that you're going to find is not necessarily what you're going to find. And if you try to stick to a schedule, you're going to get very upset and frustrated, because trips just don't work out that way. It's kind of like life. Things don't always pan out the way you thought they were going to pan out. There's a lesson there somewhere. This trip right now is a perfect example, because I envisioned myself, tooling down 101 all the way along the beaches, which are beautiful. They are beautiful beaches all the way down through Oregon. If you ever get the chance to take that trip, take it, except make sure it's in the summer when there are no cyclones. Because the trip was kind of ruined for a while. I was very excited about the cyclone and the weather coming down the 101 this morning, but by about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as I continued to go south in an effort to outrun it, I got pretty irritated, because I wanted to see the sun on those beaches. I wanted that experience, and of course, it didn't happen today because it's raining and it's socked in and you can't see much. I did get to do a couple of great videos for Facebook so people can see what was up with that, and they're up there on my Facebook page. But you know, you can see how windy it was, and you can see and experience all of that. But at some point tonight, I was pretty upset when I set the microphone up and started this show, because I didn't expect to be stuck in Gerberville on a rainy night doing my show. I envisioned myself standing or sitting on a beautiful sunny beach with the door open so you could hear the surf doing the radio show at 11 o'clock at night with the moonlight. But that is not going to happen tonight. So I guess the main lesson of travel is you have to take it as it comes. And there's a lesson there in life, and especially there there's a lesson there for this election. I don't want to say that that's the way politics is or should be, because that sounds like you have to accept things the way that they are. That's not what I'm saying. But this particular election season has taken on a life of its own. And it's very difficult to be okay with that, but you kind of have to. So I'll talk about that in the next segment a little bit, and some of the conversations that I've been having, and some of the frustrations that I have been experiencing. So that is coming up next on the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. There you can also make a contribution to Mobile Podcast Command for fuel, and you can sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, which is going to be coming out pretty soon. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, remember, it's thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. Live from the coast of California tonight, this is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Just ahead of segment three for this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Once again, thanking the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast's website, thebobdavispodcast.com. Sorry I'm saying that so much, considering that I have to billboard the radio show with that constantly. But Alpha Systems has a single mission in life, and this is to get pilots to fly safe. And if you're a pilot, you definitely want to get there, but you want to be safe, especially on takeoffs and landings. And that involves lift. What is an AOA, an angle of attack indicator? It is nothing more than a visual indicator of the amount of lift underneath your airplane or the angle of attack. And it saves lives, especially on the final turn to land on the runway. If you want more info, click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. I voice a little video there. There's lots of really cool stuff from one of Alpha's great friends, a former YouTube pilot who talks and demonstrates AOA, so it's worth checking out. Alpha Systems, and remember, their mission is fly safe. Thanks, guys. Okay, here's segment three. I just want to say one quick thing about this. Radio shows are very hard to get to things that are deep inside. That's why I like podcasts. I'm going to start. In this show, I kind of start to scratch the surface, and it's barely scratching the surface of how strongly I feel the so-called political right in this country is off in the weeds, or off course, or confused. And it doesn't do my feelings justice, but it's a beginning. If you've heard me speak, and if you've listened to these podcasts, you know that I think that the Republican Party in particular is literally falling apart. It is breaking loose from its moorings, and part of it, as you'll hear in this segment, is because they really don't have, they're not really for anything in particular. This isn't just my judgment, it's a judgment of a lot of people. But I have very deep and strong feelings about it. I'm sad about it. I'm not happy about it. And I'm also not happy about the fact that in the radio format, it's very difficult to dig down deep enough, long enough, so that people really understand where you're coming from. So take that into account when you listen to the next two segments of this show. And I will be talking about this more in the future on future podcasts. So here we go with segment three, right, of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, you visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, we're live from Gerberville, California, and I ended up inadvertently covering the big cyclone, the giant storm that has been impacting the northwest coast of the United States. So Washington, parts of southern Canada there in British Columbia, all the way down to here, Gerberville, California. And as again, I just want to say, I've been chasing this storm, trying to get ahead of it so I could have that experience of being on the beach with the golden sun and all of that. And I just don't know if that's going to happen. It's one of the things you have to let go of when you're traveling. And I have had some great experiences on this trip, even with the storm, seeing things and staying in some state parks, even with all the rain. It's just something that you end up having to deal with. So I promised I would talk about politics. I've talked enough about travel in this show as we sit here. And by the way, I'm in kind of a little bar district in this town, and the storm is picking up, so you're going to hear rain, you're going to hear trucks nearby, you're going to hear some drunk people perhaps, but I have all the windows shut, and I've had to because it's so windy, and the other thing is there's a gas station across the street with diesel, so trucks are coming in out of this storm either to shut down and just chill or to get fuel. So there's a lot going on tonight in Gerberville as we speak with this big storm. So I want to talk a little bit about politics because I have had a number of conversations, both from a speaking event Thursday before I left on the trip. I literally left that night in the pouring rain to head out to North Dakota for the pipeline protest, which is one of the podcast. I think it's podcast 558, if you want to listen to it. But I want to talk a little bit about politics because right after I left, after the speaking engagement, in which I said, when I look out at all of the candidates for president, including the Libertarian, I continue to see candidates who are really talking about state solutions to problems. Certainly Hillary Clinton is the best example of that, but Donald Trump is not far behind her. And, you know, you hear a lot of people in the Republican Party attacking Trump, and his response is to say that they're cowards or that it's the moderates who are doing this. And I just want to clarify a couple of things. I am definitely not a moderate Republican. I am not a Republican anymore. I used to be, but I can never be a Republican again for a lot of reasons. I was raised Republican, and I just don't like what I see in the Republican Party because, in fact, it was the moderates and it was the Republican establishment that made sure that Donald Trump got the nomination. As I said at the speaking engagement, last Thursday, I said, well, not last Thursday, but two Thursdays ago now, I said they certainly could have had the floor fight and they could have had this out, this fight between the so-called constitutionalist evangelist supporters of people like Ted Cruz. They could have had a floor fight that might have resulted in maybe a stronger ticket. But what they got is a candidate, and he certainly won plenty of delegates throughout the primary process. I'm not saying he didn't, but you got a candidate who's largely rhetorical. And I see it as I watch the debates. Donald Trump, even when he's right, really doesn't know the arguments. Even when he was talking about Obamacare, he really couldn't refute Hillary Clinton's arguments about what it's doing for people. When he was sort of making his market speech that we need to let the markets work, because that's not what he said. So, and that's just one example. There's plenty of other examples where Trump's rhetorical flourishes serve as arguments, but they're not arguments. And unfortunately, as I said to many people, there are arguments for what Hillary Clinton is proposing, but he's not making them. And that's the moderate Republicans' fault. And the thing I wanted to say here, and this is very, very important, it's kind of fun to watch the Republicans who rushed out to endorse Trump because it was like, he's the nominee. We got to get behind the guy. We got to bleed red. We can't let her win. And they're still saying that in spite of all the problems that he's having with the tape and, further allegations, as well as these issues with his rhetorical flourishes on arguments, are now put in a position where they still have to continue to defend him. Should Donald Trump win the presidency, these people are going to to have to continue to defend him. The evangelists and the remnants of the so-called moral majority, which are so interested in moral upstanding individuals, are going to have to defend Donald Trump despite all of his foibles if he becomes president. This is going to become a daily thing. This is going to be a situation where Trump is going to be depending on the people that endorsed him, talk radio and Fox News and people like Sean Hannity are going to have to continue to defend him after he's elected, should he be elected. And this is just the beginning. What is happening now in the Trump campaign is just the beginning. Some people, rather gleefully, especially if they're on the left, if they're on the Clinton side, are saying that the Republican Party is imploding. Here's what I said when I spoke, and I want to get this out very quickly. I look at the proposed, quote-unquote, solutions to problems from Republicans, and not just Donald Trump, but Republicans. And I see more of the same. I see a little bit less of a statist solution than Democrats, but I see a political party that can be easily pushed to the center-left if the Democrats win the Senate, and that is probably what is going to happen, especially with Hillary Clinton making an effort to be a consensus builder as a center-left president. Expect the Republican Party to get pushed to the left. And so I came to the conclusion that the Republican Party isn't going to solve the problems that the American people want them to solve. I believe the Republican Party is imploding. I believe it is, in fact, breaking up. I believe that there is no moral center in the Republican Party. I don't believe the Republican Party stands for anything anymore. And I don't see how they can, since they have nominated a guy who's largely rhetorical. What does that mean? It means that we have a presidential candidate in the Republican, Donald Trump, who is the guy that says all the stuff that people just say to each other across the bar, and they think that's charming, or they think that that is something that that is sort of an everyman quality. They have this penchant for finding people like Joe Wurtzel, Joe the Plumber, or you know, thinking that if that we could just find a regular guy, whether it's Mike Rowe or Donald Trump or somebody that's just a regular everyday guy who has no political experience, gets up and says a bunch of stuff that people really like. He's telling you what he thinks that you want to hear, and it resonates with people, that if we can find that guy, we can win the presidency. And, you know, he may win the presidency, and I'll talk about that in the final segment a little bit. But I think Republicans are going to be the hardest pressed and the most shocked when Donald Trump becomes president in defending his positions and defending what he does, because he is not what quote unquote conservatives think they are. And I will again challenge you as you're listening to this show to ask yourself and then to define for yourself, what is a conservative? What is a liberty advocate? What is a liberty conservative? And what is a Republican? Because I think I would defy you to actually state very clearly what a conservative and what a Republican is without getting all caught up and confused about it, because the Republican Party doesn't stand for those things. Well, that's the other thing. I should very quickly just say, because I'm running out of time, or you'll be able to define it very clearly as limited government, constitutional, liberty-oriented, and then you look at the candidate and you find that he isn't, and most of the Republican Party, as it's currently constituted, isn't those things. So as the Republican Party implodes, it's very tough and sad to watch, and we'll talk about that next. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Okay, just ahead of segment number four, where I go even deeper into this question of the future of I hate to use the political spectrum anymore. I'm so tired of the right, left, up, down nonsense, the liberal versus the conservative, because they're meaningless terms. I've been talking about this for years, and I'm so sick and tired of being, like trying to be a political analyst. I know how I feel, and I know what I see. I certainly read a lot, and I know how I feel about what I am reading, and that is what I want to talk about more and more. And I'm not happy. I'm not happy about the political process, and I'm not happy with what I see from both political parties. I just don't think that they're serving our needs anymore. So, and I'm not sure people really understand that. I'm getting a lot of flack, but I don't care. Because, you know, my whole effort as an air talent and as a podcaster has always been, and it'll sound strange, but to serve myself first. In other words, these podcasts and the radio shows are really about me and my feelings about things. And if they resonate with you, great. If they don't, you know, especially with podcasts, I don't care. Right? It's like, whatever. Don't listen. Okay, so once again, got to thank Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Get your heating checked to make sure everything is working right before the heavy cold sets in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too. Great emergency service, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Get your heating checked. Check them out also online at RyanPlumbing.com. Okay, here's the final segment here, segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, live from Mendocino, California, as we speak on the beach. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Oh, and by the way, if you do hit the BobDavisPodcast.com website on a desktop, and it also works on some phones, the streaming audio will kick right in. So the last three podcasts rotate on streaming audio. But if you want to listen to any of the podcasts, there's a search window. You just type in there what you're looking for, or the subject of what you're looking for, or if you know the number, you type that in. And there's 560-some podcasts for you to check out on all kinds of things. The one I really like from, I did two so far this week. One was in North Dakota at the pipeline protest. The other one was an audio trip on one of the Washington State ferries on what was a beautiful, brilliant, sunny day, and I talked about travel and things of that nature. Along the way, I've been having conversations with people, close friends, about the situation that we have witnessed this week, this bad week for Donald Trump. And a couple of things come to mind that I want to talk about. And just, you know, hopefully there'll be enough time in this last segment here in this live show too, from Gerberville, California, to just kind of fill in the blanks. First of all, I want to reemphasize, this is not something that I am gleeful about. I just think the Republican Party has run out of road in terms of ideas. And I think the Republican moderates and the Republican establishment have kind of just hung on to power almost through momentum over the past few years nationally and certainly in the state of Minnesota where I'm from. They really don't deserve the vote of Republicans because they say they are Republicans. They say they are conservatives, but generally they vote with the majority, which happens to be the Democratic Party. And if you confront them on that, they say, what would you have me do? You have to understand how this works. And they give you the whole you don't understand politics speech. Now, when it comes to the presidential candidates, they are now telling you, you have to vote for Donald Trump because if you don't, you're going to get Hillary Clinton and she's going to appoint Supreme Court justices. But here's the thing. Who appointed Justice Kennedy? Ronald Reagan appointed Justice Kennedy. So he's pretty conservative, right? Who appointed John Roberts to be Chief Justice? That was George W. Bush, who was a conservative, right? Except John Roberts is the judge who basically opened the gate and let Obamacare through. His view was that certain elements of Obamacare were, in fact, constitutional. Remember that big fight? That was a conservative justice. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a liberal justice, has certainly been a strong proponent for First Amendment rights. So, and I'm not saying that Hillary Hillary Clinton's going to appoint great justices. But there is a thing called advice and consent in the Senate. And so presidents struggle to appoint justices that are going to be acceptable to both parties in the Senate. Here's the problem with the Republicans. They keep electing wolves in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? They are putting people in office who claim to be conservatives, but shortly after they get their election certificate and begin serving, they begin promoting non-conservative positions. They begin promoting positions which really aren't quote-unquote Republican positions. The worst of all of these guys is going to be Trump if he becomes president, because Trump's whole policy idea is rhetorical. What does that mean? It means he just says a bunch of stuff. Hillary Clinton's right about that. He just says a bunch of stuff. I remember early on, one of the talk show hosts that supported Trump said, you know, really, he's just dumbing it down. He's actually a really smart guy, and he's just dumbing it down so people will vote for him. Now, in the wake of the sex tape, for lack of a better term, I know it's not a sex tape, but it's the grabbing you know what and all of that. You know, now they're saying, and he's saying in a really incredible speech this week, that suddenly now there's a vast conspiracy by the media and world government interests and people like George Soros to make sure that he isn't the president. And I hark back to all of those talk show hosts that said, especially the conspiracy theory guys that said, Donald Trump is really smart and he gets it. He knows what's going on with them and he gets it. They all said that. And here now, it's the same conspiracy theory turned back around. Remember, he was so smart that he was going to expose them and he was going to get to be president because of that. Now suddenly they're crushing him. So much for that kind of nonsense. When you look at what he wants to do, it's either the Paul Ryan tax plan or it's spending $250 billion for infrastructure, which I'm telling you, I'm out here driving around. We do not need that. There's a lot of road work going on. 101 is very smooth all the way up. State roads are great. There's plenty of really nice bridges and freeways and everything else. So we don't need more infrastructure in the United States. We certainly don't need $250 billion worth of infrastructure. And you can go through every single one of these. But it's very sad to watch this implosion because to the people that say you have to vote Republican because if you don't, then Hillary Clinton's going to appoint Supreme Court justices. Well, what do you think you're going to get with a guy who really doesn't know what he's about, who becomes president, and he has to appoint two or three Supreme Court justices with a Democrat Senate? What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to appoint conservative justices at that point? Do you think that that famous list of 20 justices is going to make it through a Senate dominated by Democrats? No. I mean, he'll certainly have some Republican votes, but he's going to have to go to the middle to get justices. And that's how you get justices like Kennedy and John Roberts, who are conservative on the surface. Maybe they're religious. Maybe they have the right credentials. But when it comes down to the wire, when it comes down to the pinch, they vote with the liberals, let's say, for lack of a better term. If you're a conservative, quote unquote conservative, you're going to look at the other side as being liberal. They vote with the liberals. The only difference there was Scalia and to a lesser extent, Clarence Thomas. Look and see who appointed those justices. Before you say that Donald Trump is going to appoint conservative justices. I would be willing to bet that if Trump becomes president, he will not appoint conservative justices. And I am willing to bet that if he becomes president, the people that supported him, the people that have had to endorse him, the people who are now having to defend him, whether it's Paul Ryan, who says, I'm going to endorse him, but now I'm going to withdraw my endorsement, but I'm still going to vote for him. I mean, I they're put in a position of having to defend him, and they're going to have to consistently do this throughout his presidency because Trump's tendencies are to the state side. So what's the argument? Bob Davis, you know, you're being really critical. Here's the argument. The Republican Party is falling apart. It's falling apart because it doesn't have a moral, but what I mean is it doesn't have a catechism. It doesn't have a series of things that it's adamantly for that are in line with most of its supporters. It is breaking apart because it cannot get younger people. It can't. It's having problems getting women. It's having problems getting black and Hispanic voters, despite what Donald Trump says. And the reason is the party cannot make arguments that are primarily economic anymore because they don't believe the things that that, let's say, a Ronald Reagan or, you know, a Murray Rothbard, who was one of Reagan's friends, or a Milton Friedman would believe today. I don't believe that they are going to be able to see us through this because the party is imploding. And what has to happen is a new party has to come along. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be the Libertarian Party. I don't know whether the people in the Republican Party have it in them to do the work necessary to build a new political party, but I don't think the Republican brand can be rejuvenated. And in fact, I think if the president is Donald Trump, and I'm going to talk real quick about this before we close the show, then that will just accelerate the process of the Republican Party imploding. So the challenge is to create a new party. And I just don't know if the demographics in the Republican Party, meaning the people that are in the Republican Party, are going to be up to it, because you're going to have to do it without the establishment. All those people, if Trump wins or loses, all those people at the top of the Republican Party have got to go. And that includes in the state. That's all of the personalities, two or three layers down at the top of the Republican Party, have got to go, win or lose for Trump. And I'll talk more about that in future podcasts. But I've stayed away from this because it's very sad for me to watch this. It's like watching a friend die for me. You know, I came of age during Ronald Reagan's presidency. This is like watching someone, this is like watching a party literally die of some terrible disease. It's not fun for me to watch this, and it's not fun for me to talk about this kind of a thing. Now, very quickly before I close the show and drink some coffee here in Gerberville, California, I'll be doing a state-by-state roundup at the end of October, because the state-by-state polls are not as dire or as good for Trump as some of the commentators out there are saying. So it's very important to stay tuned for my third state-by-state poll roundup. That is coming up to the toward the end of the month. So we are done from Gerberville, California, in the midst of a huge storm. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Thanks for listening. 's for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts right here at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show on GCNLive.com and on the Patriot and right on the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts, where we now have streaming audio. So when you hit the page on a desktop and some smartphones, it'll start playing automatically. We did what we could to try to not have that happen on smartphones so people don't get confused, because sometimes if you're driving or whatever, it's confusing. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, and of course, thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And I appreciate the donations for diesel fuel on this mega trip. Next stop is going to be San Francisco and then south to Los Angeles and then over to Phoenix. So stay tuned to the BobDavisPodcast.com for more on the travel this time around. The great northern or the great western, the great Northwestern to Southwestern mega trip 2016. Thanks for listening. This is Podcast 560.